because your presence is here. Just you're expressing yourself to us, Lord, and your love for us through your spirit, Lord. And we just want to return that love, your own spirit in us, returning that love back to you, Father. And we thank you that we can call ourselves Christians and to call ourselves believers. And Father, understanding and seeing what we see today, Father, not just as education, not just a doctrine, or not just as a news story, but Father, seeing the relevance, seeing how you are moving among us, and as the world plunges headfirst into darkness and debauchery, and just amazing, it's amazing. We sit and look at it, how sane people or smart, educated people can make the decisions and believe the things they believe, and at the same time, we recognize that it's exactly the way it's supposed to be, and they look at us as we're insane. We look at them as they're insane. Father, the light gets brighter, the darker it gets. And we're so thankful, Father, that we can stand here, not just as a faith, as something we believe in our mind, but from our hearts, Lord, we can see the reality. Father, it gives us faith just to press on. Tonight, Lord, you've given me something to speak on, Lord, to encourage us and help us to keep going, Lord. I just pray you would just take this word now and speak it, Lord, and put it together the way you would have it done, Lord Jesus. So we can all hear your voice, Lord, and be strengthened and edified, Lord. And by this service tonight, we just put it in your hands now, Lord. Yes, I pray in your name. Amen. And if you turn your Bibles to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, we'll read several verses there and then be seated. Ephesians 4. Just one of the most powerful scriptures ever written, I believe. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You may be seated. Tonight I want to speak on the thought of purpose, the purpose of a believer. We all are here for a reason. God has put us here to serve a purpose, and we need to make sure that we find that purpose. Because if we don't find a purpose, brother and sister, our life becomes meaningless, and we end up just a shipwreck. And on judgment day, God's going to ask, why didn't you serve your purpose? And we're going to sit there with nothing to say because we did not find what it is God wanted us to do. But as believers, we know that we are going to find the purpose of God, because that's part of what a believer does. It's part of our inheritance. God has a purpose for us all. And you're never going to be happy. You're never going to be satisfied until you know that you are walking in God's purpose for you. It's just not going to happen. As a believer, you need to know there's certain things about your life that you need to know that this is what God has for you to do. Otherwise, you're going to be, there's something missing. And sometimes, brother and sister, we got to humble ourselves and say, well, the purpose that God has for me is a lot less than I wanted for myself. And that's all right, too. It's called humility. Humility is an amazing thing. So let's go back. Ephesians 4, verse 11 down through 15 is talking about the ministry. And this is the purpose of the ministry, to keep the body from being deceived, to keep us from being tossed to and fro, till we all come into the stature of the fullness of God, the knowledge of God, the perfect man, the stature of fullness of Christ. But now let's go down here to verse 15, and let's pick this up again. It says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So now we're talking about the purpose of the body, the purpose of individual believers and all working together. We're supposed to grow up, speak in truth and love, and grow up into all things, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, uncompacted by that which every joint supplieth. So everyone has a point to supply, to bring this body, to compact it, to strengthen us, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Every part has an effectual, means effective measure of working. Every part has a part to play. Every person has a part to play if this body is going to grow up into the strength and the stature of Christ that it's supposed to be. So I don't know what you, if you know your purpose in this body, this is a small body, but everyone has a part. And specifically, if it's small, you have a greater part. If there are 600 people sitting in here, you might have a smaller part to play. But because it's a small group, you got a lot more responsibility to play. It's true. What is your part? Do you know what it is? Do you know all of the different things, of the place, the things you're supposed to play, all the different responsibilities? And it says, working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Edifying is to build up, is to strengthen. We're supposed to do this for each other. If we don't build each other up, who's going to build us up? If we don't strengthen each other, who's going to strengthen us? If we're the ones pulling ourselves apart and causing division and strife, who is going to strengthen us? Brother and sister, I'm convinced over the last several years we've come to a point where God has said, okay, I've given people a chance, I've given them a chance, but they continue to cause strife. They continue to cause division. It's past that time. We can't have that anymore. It's either time to get in or get out. We've seen this happen. We've seen people that have been going here for years and years and just still constant strife. And finally, God said, it's just time for you to go. Brother Jerry didn't have to kick him out. God did. How? Through the preaching of the word. Exactly the way it's supposed to happen. It's through the word. It's through the manifestation of the word that people don't want. So we're supposed to do this to the for each other, brother and sister. Verse 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given this over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. That's the purpose of the world. They have given this over to the darkness of the mind. The word came and they didn't want it. They rejected it. And so now they're turned over to just serve themselves. It's all about me. Brother and sister, when you get that attitude, and sometimes we all get it every once in a while, and hopefully less and less, but when it becomes, I want my way about this certain thing, brother and sister, that is not your purpose in life. That is not your purpose. Well, I want to do it this way. Well, I want to eat this. Well, I want to go here. Well, I want this. I want that. Well, sometimes you get to have your choice, and sometimes you don't. You know that part where it says, husband, give yourself for your wife, the way God, Christ gave himself for the church? Think about that a little bit sometime. It's easy for me to preach on that. I don't have to worry about it. I get to do whatever I want. So don't you ever believe that for a second. There's a lot of things I don't get to do that I want to do. Maybe different from living in families, but it still works. God still gets to be in charge. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupted according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is what we have to do, is put off our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own flesh, our own idea, all the our own selfishness, and be renewed in the spirit of the mind. How's that going to happen? By sitting there and letting the word accomplish that in you. Put you on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. The whole point of this whole chapter, brother and sister, this last part, is to recognize that we are members one of the other. We are one body. When one body hurts, we all hurt. It's supposed to. When one body is happy, we all should be happy for that part of the body that's feeling happy. We need to get rid of the division, the strife. And brother, it's happening, which is really exciting. I'm not up here saying, oh, we got this huge problem going. We still got problems going on, obviously. We're still human. But brother and sister, I see more of a unity and more coming together as time goes by. This is what it's supposed to be. And here's the best thing about it. We are not being unified under that false spirit of religion like so many message believers are being unified under. Well, you don't want to believe it your way. I'll believe it my way. Let's just come together and have church. That ain't it. We're going to talk more about that later, how you're supposed to handle something like that. All right, hang on a second. I got to find a quote real quick. I can't find it, but that's all right. All right, let's talk about purpose a little bit. That was just to lay a little bit of foundation. They say life begins at 40. That's a lie. Life begins at the altar. That's where life begins, eternal life, when you come to that Jesus Christ. Every promise is yours. It's all yours. It's to you. Brother and sister, your purpose in life, one of your purposes is to take the promise of God and let it manifest through you. To show that God is real, to show that God's reality. He said, every promise is yours, it's all to you, it's yours. Maybe you haven't searched it, maybe you haven't looked down to find out where the promise is for you. You can't come and receive the Holy Ghost until you really believe you're going to get it. God's more anxious for you to get it than you are to receive it. More anxious, he wants you to have it. It's yours, it's your personal property. Now, he is using an example of the Holy Ghost, but that goes for every promise. God is more anxious to give you the promises that he's promised you than we are to get it. Ain't that amazing? Think what you want more than anything else. According to a promise in the Bible. Think how bad you want something, and yet God is more anxious to give it to you than you are to get it. Amen. He just wants to see what you're going to do about it. He said, you can't come and receive the Holy Ghost until you really believe you're going to get it. You know why we don't get a lot of things? We really don't believe we're going to get it. Why not? Because we don't have that faith yet. That's not been a revelation yet. Or we got other things taking our mind off of. Or we just have doubts because maybe we're not good enough. Maybe God doesn't really want to give it to me because I've been so bad. You know, sometimes I'm convinced that we think the purpose that we are a Christian is to live a holy life. And that's right, but not a legalistic holy life. He's not keeping score. I think God has his big board, and every time we make a sin, No! Every time you ask forgiveness, the blood wipes it clean. See all those sins up there? No, it's perfectly white. That's exactly how you look in God's eyes as soon as you repent. Then you really think that you trying to live a holy life is what is really going to please God. Of course it's true, it's holy life, but it's true holiness. It's not this idea, you know, they had the law. And they couldn't keep the law. And back then, brothers and sisters, that's what they had to do, is try to keep that law. Why? So God could keep score? No, it's so that they can be in some kind of relationship with God. That's the whole purpose. So isn't it you're not out there feeding the lust and catering to all those evil spirits and all that evilness that God can't be around. So he's going to follow these rules so we can have some kind of relationship. It's not the relationship that you and I can have because all they had was the blood of bulls and goats. But we have more than that. And so our relationship with God can be so much deeper than what they had following the law. So why do we want to go back and try to follow the law? We walk through our life and we judge ourselves, look at ourselves. Well, how did I do today? And when we say, well, how do you do today? Well, I made this mistake. I made that. That's not the question. It's not how many mistakes you did today. That has nothing to do with how you're doing today. Right. How you're doing today is, what is your relationship like with Jesus Christ right now? That's what you should be judging. Well, I got defeated. How am I supposed to have a good relationship with Christ? It's called repentance. You repent, and then you get up and you believe you're forgiven. That's the hardest thing to do sometimes, isn't it? You made that same besetting sin mistake for the last 50 days in a row. Or whatever. And you repent and you get up and say, I'm forgiven, I'm going on. And Satan will jump up and down and say, you hypocrite! You know you're going to do it tomorrow. You know you're going to. You might as well just quit acting like you're not defeated. You're defeated. Well, I guess you're right, Satan. I might as well walk around defeated because I'm sure I'm going to fall to this again. Don't do that. Why would you walk around defeated? How can, let me ask you this, how can you walk around defeated seeing what the Bible says about you? There's only one answer. It's unbelief, folks. That's the only way we could. Well, I'm just having a bad day. Why? Because Satan's been kicking me around. Okay. So now you have an excuse to have a bad day. It don't matter what you're going through, brother and sister. You don't have to walk around defeated. All it takes is a right confession. Brother Phil, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't care. You don't know what I go through. The word is still the word. It's still the promises. Let me read what he said here. Daniel, when he was taken down into Babylon, though he was going away from his home, he was going to be a slave to another nation of people. He had some bad circumstances. Daniel purposed in his heart, no matter what they did to him, he wasn't going to defile himself with the Babylonian sin. Now we think, okay, he's not going to eat that food they had and all that. But listen to what Brother Branham said. Oh, if we had more gallant men like that, that would purpose in your heart. If I am a Christian, I am going to find out every divine blessing that belongs to me and claim it. That's what you need to do. What is the promise that pertain to you, and claim every promise that a Christian gets? It's all for you. Brother Brand said, oh, if we had more men and women like that who would claim the promises and walk in that faith. You remember those Rocky movies with Sylvester Stallone? What made those movies so popular? What was it about Rocky that made people like him? No matter how many times he got knocked down or how hard he got hit, he'd always get back up, and you couldn't make him quit. He refused to quit. Now, of course, in the movie, you know, it's believing yourself and all that humanistic kind of stuff. I'm not telling you for a second to believe in yourself. But if you know Jesus Christ, then you have a reason to get up every time. There's no reason to walk around. I don't care how hard you've been hit. You know, Rock, he'd get knocked down. And, you know, the movie was ridiculous. I mean, he would have been dead a long time ago just if that was real. But it's the same with you and I, brother and sister. If we didn't have something that kept us getting back up, we'd have been dead and gone a long time ago. But it ended up depending on ourselves. We have one who's living inside of us who won't quit. He never has quit. And he's not going to quit in you. And if you try to quit, he's going to kick you around a little bit. He said, what are you doing laying down there for? Why are you doing walking around defeated? Why are you walking around gloom like that? Get up. You have something to fight for. It's your purpose. Your purpose is to live for others. When we start feeling down, it becomes all about us. When we start being defeated and walking around feeling sorry for ourselves, well, I got beat again. I honestly don't know. I don't even feel like going to church, whatever. Brother and sister, that's about us. That's about me. But if I would put my brothers and sisters first, then I'm going to come to church if I can, because I'm needed. Ain't that amazing? You're needed here. You know what? We have this false humility. I know I do. It's an Amish thing. I don't know if other religions have it, but I know the Amish do. They're good at it. I would never say that I'm needed. How arrogant of me. How proudful of me. Really? Didn't Ephesians just say the body needs itself? If we need each other, every part is needed? Then how do you dare say, well, I'm not needed. I'm just nobody. I'm not important. Okay, then you just called the Bible a lie. Go ahead and keep with that religious false humility. I was just up in Ohio visiting one of my uncle. He used to be Amish, my mom's brother. I don't know. I'll say it. He said the Amish are so proud of their humility. It's exactly what it is. They're so humble and they're so proud of it. He said the Mennonites are just proud they're not Amish. He don't have much time for either one. It's those little things like that, brother and sister, that get us, that keep us from having a closer relationship. Sometimes it looks so good to our mind, our religious carnal mind. Yeah, well, I would never say I'm needed. I would never say I'm important. I would never say something like that because who am I? I'm not worth nothing. People say, I've seen people, they say, well, I'm just not worth, you know, I owe everything to God. I'm not worth anything. I'm, you know, don't thank me for anything. And then you go hurt their feelings. They get all tore up and they're like, well, I can't believe this. I'm not needed. Whatever. I thought you weren't worth anything. I thought it was not you. It's such a religious spirit. But true religion, true holiness is confess what the Word says about you. God thinks the world of you. He thinks you're extremely important. Now go ahead and tell him he's not right. You are very important. And brother and sister, for us to walk around and say, well, I'm just nothing, I'm just a nobody. First of all, that you don't believe that to begin with, or you wouldn't say it. It's true. It's true. If you're not going to go on and walk around and say that thing if you really thought that way. Because, you know, well, let me keep going. Amen. It's true anyways. He said, I'm going to find every divine blessing that belongs to me and claim it. If the Bible teaches I can receive the Holy Spirit, I'm going to stay on my knees till God gives me the Holy Spirit. Not just drift around, not just go here or there. That's the kind of attitude we have. Whatever the Bible says about it, that's mine. Find out what God's purpose is for you individually. I'm speaking broadly on some of these things. We're going to talk more individually things. What is God's purpose for you? What does he want you to do? What does he have for you? What promises does he want to fulfill in your life? And you need to go fulfill that. Not just for your sake, but for the body's sake. If you have a ministry that you are not currently using, you need to get into that and start fulfilling it for all of our sakes. What is that ministry? Well, I don't know. I'm a sister, Brother Phil. Well, maybe your ministry is to pray. Maybe your ministry is to, who knows, do what? There's a lot of things to do. Sometimes it talks about gifts of kindness and all kinds of stuff in the Bible that we can do. What is your job? Brother Brown, one place, he said something like this. He said, when you get a job, you go to the boss and say, what am I supposed to do? He said, you don't just go out there, sit back and just kick back and say, well, I'm here. Go find out what your purpose is. He said, I was thinking about, he said, one of the great presidents the nation ever had was Lincoln. He was deprived of an education, but yet something was in his heart, some purpose. I like a man of vision. I like people that's got something they're fighting for. Not just lay around, well, everyone comes along, we'll be all right. Oh, be up and at it. Lincoln never let his education stand in the way. He had something to do. I think every Christian ought to be the same way. Find your purpose and go do it. Don't just get back and say, well, I'm here in church again. Preach me happy. I'm here. What do you want me to do? I go on to church. I pay my tithes. What more do you want me to do? How about find your purpose in this body and do that? And sometimes that purpose goes beyond the body too. There's other people that have to be influenced by us. He said, we find out Uzziah got lifted up. He was going to do it anyhow. He wanted to go in and offer the incense. He grabbed the censer and took off. It didn't make any difference what the priest said. He was going to do it anyhow. And it was against the scripture. It was unscriptural for him to do that. It's unscriptural for you or I to impersonate anyone else. That's right. So be what you are and be a good one. Be what you are and be a good one. Don't try and be something not. Don't try and put on some facade. Don't try and be the super holy and oh, I know all the quotes individual, brother. Says just be who you are and be a good one. What did God call you to do? Well, right now I work, I go home, I take care of my family, I do this. Well, then be a good one at it. It's just that simple. You know why that is so important? Especially the further we go down the line, because so few people can do that anymore. Oh my goodness, come to work with me. Look at the kids who are the result of people who can't do that. They can't go to work. They can't raise their kids. They can't do these things, you know, to love someone else more than themselves. All these things, they can't do it anymore because the spirits of this world have so perverted them. And from a child, they've been trained to be so self-centered. There's no accountability. There's no, I have to work hard for this. You just owe it to me because I'm a person. I don't care how you have to go to work, but I don't have to go to work. I deserve it. What makes you deserve it? Because I do. That's the attitude. You know, it used to be the kids. They're not kids anymore. That was like 20. They're adults with this attitude. That's why we have a good chance of having Hillary as our next president. Because over half the nation is like that anymore, brother and sister. It's just getting worse and worse. He said, be what you are and be a good one. Fulfill your purpose. Why? So others can see you. There's some more of it, brother and sister. Others can see you. You're fulfilling your purpose. You go to work. You go home. You raise your kids. You provide for your family. You love people. You do good things. You live out the holy life. You show love. Why? So other people can see you. Because there's less and less of it, brother and sister. Isn't it amazing why it makes a news story when someone does something nice? That should be every day. It should be, you see it all the time. But when someone does something good for someone else, oh, it becomes a news story. Brothers and sisters, there's still lots and lots of really good people in this world. There are. And I'm not just talking about believers, Christians, you know, just people who just had a decent raising and they're a decent human being. And I appreciate them very much. But there's getting fewer and fewer. And if this world keeps going, Jesus said, you know, he's got to cut this work short for the elect's sake, or no one would be saved. If you're a housewife, be a real one. If you're a husband, be a real one. If you're a deacon, a genuine, be genuine, a preacher, whatever you are, but don't try to take someone else's place. Just be who you are. Just be who you are. I want to play piano. I love to play piano. But if I tried to take Sister Lydia's place, you would run me out of here. And you should. Just be who you are. Because when you are genuine, a real person, a genuine person, that is the, you will get more respect from any, from people than just about anything else. Just be who you are. At work, you get so many people doing so many crazy things. I need to keep going. All right. Let me read this. Hang on a second. He said he was the one, he was just one man, the perfect man. He gave his life, he made an example for you. Now, what must we do? The first thing I want to say is Jesus never lived for himself. His life was spent for others. That's perfectly eternal life. When you say you go to church and you do good things, that's fine. But when you live your life to yourself, you haven't eternal life. Eternal life is living for others. You see little kids as they grow up. Little child, they're very self-centered. It's all about me, 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 right? It's all about them. And when that happens is when you have good parents, they start raising that kid and the kid grows up and they start finding out there's other people involved. And you start finding out that you have to share or you have to help, you know, deal with other people and you have to be kind to other people and other people have a say in it too. You don't always get your way. Now, if you have good parents, you keep growing up and that lesson keeps being taught. And then God continues with that teaching through the preaching of the word. And when you see people who won't learn that, they're going to go through some hard times, brother and sister, because God's going to teach you sooner or later that it's not all about you. It is not all about you. You don't get your way all the time. And people who receive that, who refuse to learn that, you look at them and say, well, you're so spoiled. I don't care how old you are. You're still very spoiled. You don't get your way all the time. And what's been really great around this message is men took the message and made a law about it that I get my way, but you, sister, don't get yours. That's not the way it is around here. that spirit got blasted years ago. And sisters, if your husband is still dealing with that, talk to your pastor. I'm just playing. Don't. I don't mean that. Sorry, brother. But that's been preached on enough. If you brothers are still this tyrant thinking you're the Lord of your home and your wife is just some little something to slave for you, please get the Holy Ghost. I'm serious. I'm not married and I know that much. Living for others. It's about others. Our life should be about others. What do they need? I'm going to read some out of Romans. You can turn if you want. You don't have to. Romans 13:8. It says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love that worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." That's the true holiness. Fulfill the law by love. And you can't do it with your own human love. It's got to be the Holy Spirit doing it through you. It's got to be God doing it through you. And this is what it is. Love each other as you love your neighbor as thyself. Some people say, "I don't love myself." Yes, you do. The world teaches you to love yourself. The wrong part of yourself. God teaches you to love the new part of yourself, the new person, the new man. You're supposed to. That's Jesus Christ. You don't love him? Of course you do. You're supposed to. Do you not love what God is doing in your life? Do you not see Jesus Christ growing in you? Do you not love that? Is that not Jesus? Well, yeah, it's Jesus Christ, but I don't love myself. Is that not you? Or is that not the real you? You know what happens if you start getting this part right, what I'm talking about? It will revolutionize your life. Because you see the value that you carry in the eyes of God. Now, if you take this wrong, you get all arrogant and puffed up. I wasn't talking about that. That's not it at all. That's loving the old nature. But you know what happens when you start loving that part of God? You can start loving other people correctly too. Because you don't have to protect yourself anymore. You can just love. How do you know, Brother Phil? Because I'm experiencing it. And it is changing my life. It's true. Romans 14:10, "Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." It's not my job to say, "Hey, Brother Gene, I don't know what you're doing there. I'm not sure I like that." He's going to stand before the judgment seat. I'm standing before the judgment seat. I'm not going to stand there and judge him. Not my brother. This is the judgment going on right here. "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Everyone, I'm not going to stand up there and be the accuser against you, Brother Jimmy. I'm not going to say, "Well, God, I know that he's saved, but you know what I remember him did on earth? I remember." No, it's not going to happen. And if I'm not supposed to do it then, I'm not going to be doing it now. I'm not supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be, but we do sometime. And sometimes we go ahead, "Well, they're not even a message believer. It don't matter." Yes, it does too matter. It does too matter. Now, I'm not talking, I get called judgmental a lot at work. Because I stand for what I believe is the truth. I think homosexuality is wrong. Well, who are you to judge? I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Well, that's your interpretation. Okay. See, if you stand for anything anymore, today, I'm sorry. If you stand for Christian principles, you're judgmental. See, a Muslim can say something against you and they're not judgmental. An atheist can say something against you, they're not judgmental. But if you say something as a Christian, you're judgmental. That's just the way our world is. Might as well get used to it. But it's not my job to sit here and judge you. It's the Word that does the judging. If I come up here to preach and I have some personal vendetta against you, and I say, "I'm really going to dig into Brother David tonight. Man, I tell you what, he said something Sunday really got me mad. I found some quotes. I'm going to crucify him. I ain't fit to be up here if that's my approach." Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Oh. So what I need to do is judge myself and say, is my life, is what I say, is what I do, is it causing a stumbling block in front of one of my brothers? Is what I'm doing offending somebody? Now again, not according to what the world is offended about every time you breathe, but I'm talking about brothers, sisters in the body, right? You're going to offend people. There's sometimes it's needed. But make sure that it's not me, my own personal self, doing the offense. I know and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Ain't that amazing? If a brother be grieved by thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. So he's saying, now some people don't believe it's right to eat meat. Some people say it's okay to be eat meat. And so if you know that, if I know Brother Gene didn't think I should be eating meat, I'll be using meat because that's what, there was a big deal back then. It ain't a big deal for us except unless you're Catholic. But let's say he said, you know, it's not right. You shouldn't be eating pork, Brother Phil. Well, I don't think it's wrong to eat pork. But if I know he's going to be offended by it, then when I'm around Brother Gene, I'm not going to eat pork. That makes sense? Why? Because he's going to be offended by it. He said, well, that's ridiculous, Brother Gene, grow up. Well, maybe he just hasn't grown up, and maybe I haven't if that's my attitude. It's amazing, you know, we get around non-believers and we want to spout off how much we know about the message and prove how we're right and they're wrong, and we think that makes us smart or religious or something. It makes you religious. Their eyes haven't been opened. How do you expect them to know anything? It doesn't make you spiritual to show what you know and they don't. Same with brothers and sisters. You know, there's so many people over the years, I look at this brother or that sister and say, man, they sure are really off. And the next thing I know, they've got the revelation. They're way ahead of me. I think, that ain't fair. Well, maybe if I wasn't sitting there judging them and thinking how much better I was than them, maybe God could have done something with me. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. It's about my brother. It's about what you need, what I can do for you. It's not about what I can get for myself. Edify each other. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man that eateth with offense. So even though, look, let's say Brother Gene thinks it's wrong to eat pork. It's not wrong, but it is for him. For him to eat, it's wrong for him because he has no faith. He can't do it in faith. So don't do anything you don't have confidence you can do in faith, brother and sister, because it's wrong for you to do it because it's hurting your faith. And if you keep going, God will bring you to the truth. It is good neither to eat flesh or to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. I'm going to stop on this in a little bit. It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or made weak. Now I can talk about eating meat and we say, well, of course not, but he said drink wine. Now all of a sudden it pricks up message believers' ears. What do you mean? Drink wine? Well, we shouldn't drink wine, Brother Phil. Well, Brother Paul just put it in there with eating meat. But if I was sitting here saying, Brother Gene, it's okay to drink wine, there'd be some people who would really have a problem with that. I ain't saying that. All right? I'm not going to go there because I don't want to offend anybody. But where do you draw the line? Where is your judgment lie? Hast thou faith? Well, I don't think it's wrong to do that. Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing that he alloweth. Maybe I would listen to music that you don't think I should listen to. Maybe you think, well, that's worldly music. I don't think you should listen to that. And to me, I don't have a problem listening to it. But you might. Well, then it'd be wrong for me to sit there and blast my music when you're around because you think, man, I hate that music, Brother Phil. It's ungodly or whatever. Now, maybe it is ungodly. Maybe I'm wrong to listen to. I'm just making an example. I'm not saying, you know, whatever. But the point is, if I'm doing something that I think is okay and the Holy Spirit doesn't convict me on it, but the same thing might convict you, then I need to make sure that I'm not living for myself. I'm not pleasing myself. It's about you. It's about my brother and sister. And the same with me. If you're doing something that you know is going to offend me, please stop doing it when I'm around. He said, well, I feel like a hypocrite. Well, it's not hypocrisy. You're making sure you don't put a stumbling block in front of your brother. I run, right? There's people who don't think I should run as much as I do. I've been quoted, bodily exercise profiteth little, Brother Phil. You're right. You're right. So, around certain people, I don't talk about running very much. I love talking about running. I love talk about it all day. But some people just that like they, well, you know, you should be living, doing something for God instead of running or whatever. You know, this is what God gave me to do. I'm going to do what God gave me to do. But I'm not going to just like flaunt it in someone's face who don't approve of it. That makes sense? He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So let's say, Brother Gene, you decide, you know what, maybe I should run. I don't know if, I'm not sure it's a good thing to go out and run like that because the prophet didn't run. And so I don't think, you know, maybe a Christian should do it, but Brother Phil runs, so maybe I'll go run. It'd be wrong for you to run. I'm making ridiculous examples because gotta be careful. Romans 15:1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. It's not about me. It's about my brother, my sister. Bear the infirmities. You say, well, this brother, he believes it this way, he believes it that. Well, I'm not gonna go up and say, well, brother, you're wrong about this, because Brother Branham said this and Brother Branham said this, and he said, well, yeah, he said this. Well, you just need to see it my way. No, he doesn't. He needs to move as the Holy Spirit brings more revelation. Now, I'm not talking about compromising, brother and sister. I'm not talking about this attitude. Well, as long as you believe the prophet is right and you can believe it your way, I'll believe it my way, we're all going to be fine. We're all believing the message. No, we're not. That ain't the message at all. That's not Christ. Christ is a manifestation of the word, not your idea of it. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It's not about us. It's about pleasing each other. Love your neighbor as yourself. When I look at you, brother and sister, I should love you as much as I love me. That means that whatever your opinion, whatever you want, whatever your desires are, it should be meet as much to me as my own. I'm not always there, brother and sister. I have a vacation coming up next week. We're planning some things, and I know some people want to do something, and I want to do something else. And I'm like, how do I weave this around to make sure I get what I want? Now, it's not a big deal, it's, you know, vacation. But at the same time, brother and sister, if that's my attitude in that, where's my attitude in other things that really matter? It's hard to give up my will. I want what I want because that's who I am. We all want what we want. But that's the old nature we're dying to. It's supposed to be. Sometimes we just got to humble ourselves and recognize that, you know, sometimes God has a very small part for us to play. Talk about the woman who had on her heart she wanted to have a revival meeting, so she went out and ran to the stable. And like, no one showed up the first night. The next night, one person showed up, gave his heart to the Lord. It was Dwight Moody. Led 500,000 souls to Christ. But she gets credit for that because she, an old washerwoman, just sat there. She had on her heart to do something for God, so she wanted to have the church service. And the world looked at that and said, what a failure that was. You made a fool out of yourself. wasn't a fool in God's eyes. Sometimes it's the littlest things. He said, don't despise where God's got you, but serve your purpose. Don't despise, well, Brother Phil, I don't have nothing to do. I'm just, you know, nobody in church. Well, if you're in church, you're not a nobody. You got something to do in the body. It might be very small, but it's something that God wants you to do. I'm going to read one more quote, and we'll try and put on here. Just changing the tone just a little bit. It seems like the Christian life, if the fellow is not absolutely centered on Christ, the Christian life seems like holds so many disappointments. You feel that way? So many disappointments. He said, if the fellow is not absolutely centered on Christ, the Christian life seems like holds so many disappointments. Now, Brother Brandon, I think, was praying one time. He said something like this. He said, God, you broke my heart 10,000 times. And I thank you for it, every one of them. He said, I thank you or I love you for it, something like that. Was Brother Branham absolutely centered on Christ? Most of the time, absolutely, right? But he said, if not absolutely centered, the Christian life holds so many disappointments. So just because you can be totally centered on Christ and doesn't mean you're not going to be disappointed, doesn't mean you're not going to have hardship and trials and struggles. You are going to have those no matter what. All right, so don't get it. Well, Brother Phil said they're not centered on Christ. And I'm not saying that at all. All right? He said, but those disappointments are God's divine will happening for us. Now see, if you're centered on Christ, you're going to come to that point. You realize this is God's divine will happening for us. All the disappointments, it's God's divine will. Now it don't seem like it'd be that, but it's God's way of doing things. He lets us hit the river to see what we'll do. So you say, well, I want to find God's purpose. I believe I'm fulfilling God's purpose. My life is centered on Christ. And yet I run into one disappointment after another after another. And he said, that's God's divine will. And we got to realize it. It's God allowing these things to happen. You say, well, then what's my purpose in life? It's to see what you do. And people are watching you. God has these things come up at work, at home, wherever, so that your kids, so your husband, your wife, your co-workers, the people at church, the police officer who pulls you over, whatever the situation is, God can manifest himself because we're supposed to be salty, so he can manifest himself so people will see Christ in you. Because if you respond the same way in these hard times that other people respond in hard times, why would someone want what you got? If we don't go through hard times so we can manifest Christ during hard times, people say, well, you're just like me. Because if we're all doing good, everyone can do well in the good times. Nobody needs Christ in a good time. The world thinks. Of course, we know better. We need him then as much as any time. But brother, sister, you have a hard time at work and the boss says something or something's going wrong and people look at you and say, you know, they're watching to see how you're going to react. Then you got to decide, is this going to be about me or is it going to be about my coworkers? Is it going to be about Christ or is it going to be about my hurt feelings? Your kids watch you more than anyone. You claim to be a Christian, mommy? You claim to be a Christian, daddy? This is what Christ does? He lets us hit the river to see what we'll do. Find your purpose. Purpose is to manifest Christ. Your purpose is to show that relationship you have with God to the world, to your brothers and sisters. When I'm having a hard time and I see someone get the victory in church, and I think, look at that relationship they have. That's for me too. When I see someone overcoming something, when I see Satan being cast out of someone, when I see someone walking in victory, I say, that's for me too. That's not just for them. Well, brother, sister so-and-so just always had such a good spirit about her. Well, that's for me too. It's supposed to be. Why would I let her have that when I get the same benefits myself? I can have it too. You always seem to have so much peace. Why don't I have that peace? Why not? I don't know. But brother, sister, if you have it, I can have it too. You're my example. I'm supposed to be your example. We're supposed to see the Christ in each other and say, well, if you can have that joy, why can't I have it? You can. But you got to decide this is for you. You got to see it in the promise. And you got to say, Lord, this is mine too. This is part of my inheritance. I can have peace. I can have joy. I can have love. I can live a holy life so that I quit grieving the Holy Spirit. That's mine. I don't have to walk around with my spirit realm all warped. I can love people. I don't have to walk around with my condemnation just dragging me down, because I can overcome. I remember a long, long time ago, Brother Jerry was preaching. I said this before. He was preaching on the gates of the Spirit. Remember that? Some of you were here. He was preaching on affection. And one time before service, he said something. He said, Brother Phil, I don't want you to take this wrong and everything, but your realm of affection is warped. I said, yeah, I know. I'd recognized it through what he had been preaching. And you know what I thought? I thought, you know what? God's identifying that. It's going to be healed. I'm going to be fixed. This is going to be taken care of. And I was right. 15 years later. Seriously. All this time, over all these years, I recognize that still worked. It still worked. And I said, God, you identified that. That was your word. You spoke to me. I don't have to be warped anymore. I'm not. Talk about freedom. When I say I can love people, I really can now. It's amazing. How'd it happen? Sitting there in that pew and let the word change me. Year after year. Man, it's powerful. But you got to believe it. When the word speaks to you, you have to believe it personally. That's what makes you a believer. When God spoke to Abraham individually, Abraham believed it. That made him a believer. Saying, I believe the Bible is true, it doesn't make you a believer. I believe the prophet is true, the message is correct, that don't make you a believer. It's when God speaks to you personally. He's a personal God. He speaks to you personally, and you take that. Now you're a believer. That's what God looks for. And sometimes he speaks so quiet, so small. He said, do you believe that? But God, couldn't you give me a little oomph or something? No. If you recognize the voice of God, you believe it. We prefer it comes with lightning and thunder and anointings. And of course, it's easy to believe it's God speaking. But when he speaks to you and you know it and it comes to you and you say, oh, yes. And then you walk out and you say, well, I don't know. Now you have doubt. Now you have fear. Because we're afraid to take God at his word sometimes because it comes so simple. I heard Brother Branham just say, I think it was a fourth or fifth seal, I don't remember. He said something. He said, the mystery of Jesus Christ is how simple he is. He didn't say in exactly those words, but he's talking about God and simplicity. He said, that simplicity is the mystery of Jesus Christ. Because look who he's using to manifest himself. Look how simple he is. The Pope was just here, right? Millions of people watching him. Surely God would have spoke to him. Did he? Did you hear some of the things he said? If the man is it, if he... He's demon-possessed, brother and sister. I mean, it's just... to say the things he said. How can you say those things as a spiritual leader? He believes in Chrism. You hear that? It's the unity of Islam and Christianity together. Just what we need, ain't it? And he's Christ's representative on earth. Brothers and sisters, you are Christ's representative on earth. How simple. How simple. Let me finish this. Moses led the children of Israel right in the path of duty. Pharaoh's army behind him, and the dust boiling from 500,000 men at arms. Here was 2 million helpless Jews with nothing, standing there, men, women, children, and so forth. And the Red Sea had cut them off. The Dead Sea had cut them off. There's no place to go, see? But Moses had a victory day when he prayed through. He went and began to cry out to the Lord. The Lord said, why are you crying to me? He said, why are you crying to me? God, I'm serving you. I'm living a life here. I'm trying to be a message believer, and this bad thing has happened. And what am I supposed to do, God? What am I supposed to do? He said, why are you crying to me? I commissioned you to do it. Lord, my kids are going crazy. My wife has lost her mind. What am I supposed to do? I commissioned you to be a husband. I've commissioned you to be a father. I commissioned you to do that. I need a job. I commissioned you to raise you, to support your family. This is your job. This is your purpose. Speak to the children that go on in the line of duty. There you are. Don't cry out to me. You're commissioned to take these people over there. Just speak to them that they go forward. Stay straight in the path of duty. So many times, you know, we're like, oh, I don't know. I suppose this is going on. Well, what is your purpose in life? See, if you identify your purpose in life, then you have faith to speak and go forward. God, I don't know what I should do about this situation. Well, what does the word say about it? God, I can't seem to overcome. Am I supposed to overcome this? Is it wrong? Yes. Well, then, is there a question? Of course you're supposed to overcome it. Surely you can have faith to know you can overcome it. Well, I've been trying for years. What does that have to do with it? What does that have to do with it? Do you believe? Well, I'm trying to. No. You're not trying to do anything. Do you believe or not believe? It's hard to believe when you keep stumbling over the same thing. Mm-hmm. It sure is. If you're going by your human faith. Take God at his word. The word says something about it. Believe that. And then hold on to that no matter what. Well, Satan knocked me down. Get back up. He knocked me down again. Back up. He knocked me down again. Get back up. I just feel defeated. Quit going by your feelings. What a courage that ought to be for the sick person. What a courage that ought to be for the backslider. Turn around, turn yourself around and start back. Stay in the line of duty. God's business to open up the Red Sea. It's God's business. You just speak and move forward. That's all you have to do. How am I going to overcome? It says, don't worry about how it's going to happen. You just speak the word and go forward. The Bible says you're more than an overcomer. Don't you ever confess anything besides that? You just speak and go forward. When's it going to happen, Brother Phil? It doesn't matter. But we're running out of time. Yes, we are. You think God doesn't know that? God's got everything right in time. He knows exactly what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and he knows when your deliverance is coming. He's just waiting to see how you react. Do you get discouraged? Satan kicks you around, you get discouraged. He's commissioned you to do something. What's your commission? What's your job? What's your purpose? I can't tell you what it is. I can't tell you. Brother Phil, I feel so weak. It's a good place to start. Good place to start, because if you really do feel weak, then you're going to turn it over to God and let him take care of it. Because when you're weak, then he can be strong. Amen. Let's stand. Brother and sister, when you are trying to accomplish something, you have to have a purpose. You have to have a motive, a motivation, something driving you. You can't just like flop around and say, well, I'm a Christian, so God's just going to do this and do whatever he wants. You have to find out what your reason is, what your purpose. Why did God save you? He saved you for a reason. He saved you for a purpose. Part of that purpose is to edify your brother and sister. Part of that purpose is whatever else ministry, whatever job God has for you to do. And if you don't have that revelation that this is your job, you're not going to have faith to go ahead and do it. That goes for everything we do. You say, well, that's just the big thing. That's everything, brother and sister. God wants to be involved in every little detail of our lives if we would just let him. So many times, God, you take care of the big stuff, I'll take care of the little stuff, or vice versa. Sometimes we don't trust God with the big stuff. Because it's too important. You got to find your purpose, brother and sister, and then you can have faith to go forward. You have faith to claim the promises. Otherwise, it's just a mental conception. But if God raised you up to do a certain thing, then you can have the faith to go accomplish whatever that is. What is it for me, Brother Phil? That's between you and God. That's called your relationship with God. You need to find out. Because I could sit here and say, Brother Gene, I think what your job is, you don't take my word for that. You find out what God wants for you to do. All right? Amen. God, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful, Father, for you to come tonight and speak to us again, Lord, and just encourage us. And Father, I just pray that the word had the effect that you wanted it to have, Lord. Lord, just have your way in our lives, Lord. Just help us to humble ourselves to receive, Father, your word that you spoke to us, Lord, and that we can go from here, Lord, closer to you, loving you more than we have before, Lord. Pray that you watch over us. Keep us safe, Lord Jesus. Help us to just grow in you. Help us to serve each other, Father, as we laid out our own lives that you gave the example. You guys, this is in your name. Amen. Amen. Soon and very soon.
Soon and very soon.